All right, here we are. Welcome, everybody, to our very special Christ Blessing service today. We offer this to the whole world. We offer it from Christ, and we offer it for your blessing, your peace, your happiness, and your healing. However it may lift you and help you be more positively engaged and in a relationship with life. We had the great, great fortune to be with so many loving people 2 weeks ago today, and I'm still nostalgic about it, and I miss you all. I wish you were, every single one of you were right here today with me. We're going to have to do it again sometime soon. I see that we have a couple of people on the call board, and I'm going to take your calls in just a second. But first of all, let me make an announcement, and that is to all of our blessing givers. We have a conference call scheduled. Well, it would be at 5 o'clock my time, and I'm in Central Time, so you can adjust from that. It would mean 6 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Mountain, 3 o'clock Pacific, and so forth, and those of you out of the country will have to figure that one for yourself. But we want to become prepared for the Passion Week, which begins next week with Palm Sunday. And so we want to think about our blessings during that week and to become organized and all coordinated and focused and prayerful and in a spiritual mood to celebrate the season of holiness to its fullest extent. And we'll start some of that preparation today because we have just passed the equinox. We are fully into spring and quite sure this is the season in which Yeshua was truly born. I'll probably go into detail on that next week, but it wouldn't hurt to get started this week just to build the respect and the honor and the glory of where we are now. And let's see, another announcement would be about our webinar. I was planning to announce that last week, and then I realized we're really moving so close to Easter. I don't want to start a webinar before Easter, and then because we do not want to have a webinar on Easter Day. So I will send out our announcement this coming week. And I will also bring you up to date on all of our new essential oils for spring, because there's just nothing that gets to the deeper connection of body and soul than fragrance does. And there's actually a biological scientific explanation for that, because when we have a deep fragrance experience, whether it's positive or negative even, the cerebral cortex shuts down and the amygdala becomes activated and the central nervous system becomes activated, because it's just part of our human history of doing the most natural thing, having the most instinctive response to our environment in relation to aroma. And so aromas take us out of our head, so to speak, in the cerebral thinking, beta mode of worry, fret. And this is one of the reasons throughout all the centuries that temples were saturated with either incense or oils or flowers or other forms of great and significant fragrance, because we enter and we leave our head completely. When we go into the central nervous system, we're automatically taken into our heart intelligence, which then opens up a more meditative space within us, a more contemplative space, and therefore more prayerful. So these are not just about smelling great or having our room smell great or wearing our favorite fragrance. It's about our attunement to the highest vibration of our environment that allows us to have access to more stimulating information, more inspiring visions and ideas. So I'm going to be sending out some information about the ones that are most perfect for the spring. So you can watch for that, and then there'll be an announcement about our new course coming up. Later this afternoon, of course, all the blessing givers, hopefully you can all be on the call. But if you can't, I'll make sure that it's posted on our blessing giver. Well, it's like our equivalent of a Facebook page, just for blessing givers. And by the way, I have not seen very many of our new blessing givers sign up for membership there. You need to do that, because a lot of announcements are sent there instead of through ordinary email. So, just a little jog of the memory there. And now, let's take some calls and see what's in your heart and on your mind. We have a caller from area code 713. You're on.
Is that me?
Yes.
Oh, good. This is Kathy calling from Houston.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I really had wanted to talk to you last Sunday, and I was unable to make the call, so I just couldn't wait till I could have a turn this Sunday. I'm still flying high from the Blessing Givers seminar.
I'm sure.
And
you never come down.
Well, I hope I don't. But I just, there was a couple of points I wanted to make. First is that I, while I was there, I ordered your print of the painting of Yeshua.
Yes.
And I'm just thrilled with it. I put it up right across from my meditation chair in my bedroom.
Oh,
and because you had that picture there while we were present for the seminar of the weekend, it just brings me right back to that. And every time I pass it, I tried to put his head up as high as I thought he would actually stand. So whenever I walk by him, it's like he's there. And I just love it.
Oh, I'm so glad you did that. You know, I have the original in my home, and it has the same effect on me. Either Yeshua or the Lamb and the Lion, they're both just a living remembrance of his presence. And I know that some people connect more with Yeshua, the portrait, and others with the Lamb and the Lion, just depending upon what touches your heart.
Well, at first I thought it was the Lamb and the Lion, and I think that's why I put off getting this one for so long. But now I can't choose between them. They're both just wonderful.
Oh, lots of people have them both.
So now the other points I wanted to make were that something that was a benefit I wasn't considering from becoming a blessing giver is because I learned the background and the history and the steps and everything, I feel like I'm going to be a much more open receiver if I decide to receive the blessings, because I know what it is more now.
That's true. That is absolutely true.
But the other thing is that I had no idea the profound effect the going through the weekend was going to have on me. I really didn't go into it with an expectation of one kind or another. My perception is that I have been on this, like, spiritual river that is very beautiful and peaceful and wonderful since I started the blessing calls, I guess a little over 3 years ago. And it's just been a very subtle kind of a thing, but it's a definite thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then since I've been at the Blessing Givers seminar 2 weeks ago, I just feel like the river has turned into, I don't know, a rocket ship or something. It's like, it's really, really strong. It's wonderful.
Oh, that's exciting. And, you know, it actually will just get better.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. And people around me are noticing it. I mean, from the very first when I got back, they were saying, I look different, I sound different, somehow better, stronger. They couldn't put a word to it.
Yeah, it's so true. It is so true. And the more you practice and offer the blessing, the more you're casting bread on the water that will come back to you from ways you didn't even expect. And also, I just want to take this opportunity to tie on to your comment that we don't always know exactly how God will respond to our prayers or our desire to receive his blessing in these calls. Sometimes it builds up gradually, and then we have a sudden epiphany and realize, oh, my heavens, something just remarkable has happened. And we had a wonderful, it was just a heart-shattering testimonial by one of our blessing givers who came all the way from Poland. And I want you all to hear this. Her name is Anna. Anna, are you on the call? Because if you are, I would rather you to tell the story. Just a minute. I'm going to open up this. Anna, are you there? No. Okay, so she's not there. Well, it's probably a little harder for her to coordinate being in Poland. So I'm going to tell Anna's story. About a year ago, Anna had leukemia, and she had a tumor on her chest about the size of a saucer. She was given 2 weeks to live. She knew nothing about Christ's blessing, but one of her friends had traveled the year before to, I believe it was our second blessing conference, and she began to give Anna the blessing every day. Pardon me, I need to get some water. She began to give Anna the blessing every day. And every day, Anna felt a little better. And then they began to notice that the tumor was not growing and that she had a little more strength and a little more strength. And one day, I don't think it took very long. The reason I would like Anna to be on the call is because she can give you the accurate details, and maybe she will be on one of the calls in the future, and we can call her in. But it wasn't very long because they do supervise cancer patients very closely. On her next visit, I'm getting ahead of myself. She began to get significantly better from the blessings that were given to her every day. So she asked, "What is this you're doing for me?" And her friend said, "Well, join us on a blessing call." And they had to schedule their time. I believe it's like 8 or 9 hours difference. They scheduled their time so that she could be on our blessing call on Sunday. And it was a series of Sundays. So putting all of that together, I would say we're probably talking about maybe about 2 months. And when she went back for her for various checkups in the meantime, the doctor was very pleased that she was not getting worse. In fact, she was getting better. And after a short period of, I think it was only about 3 months, she went back. The tumor was gone. She had no signs whatsoever of leukemia. None at all. Has not had any since then. And she was wearing, she's a young woman, about 30 years old, lovely young woman, vivacious, so full of life and hope and opportunity to give back to the world. And she was wearing a kind of a low-cut blouse, and there was no scar. I mean, she had a perfect young chest, totally healed, more full of life than anybody in the room. And she was supposed to have already been on the other side due to fatal cancer. And she only took one half of one chemo treatment. You see, she was scheduled to take the chemo treatment before her friend started doing the blessings. And she did one half of it, but she was making so much positive progress, she canceled the rest and said, no, I don't want any more of that. And she had no toxic results from that one half of one chemo treatment she had. No negative side effects whatsoever. And she did not want to go back for more. And that's the only allopathic conventional medical treatment she had. All the rest were Christ's blessings. So I think that's, she's going to write that up so that I can send that story out to everyone. And it's just a heart-melting story about what you can be doing, what you are doing. And sometimes we don't know how far-reaching these blessings are, because sometimes what is given to you is given through you to another. Just as we were talking about a minute ago, our blessing giver is noticing that other people are seeing her as being a blessing in their life. And so this could be sometimes when you come and you receive a blessing, part of it is for you, and part of it is for you to pass on to someone who just doesn't yet know that there is such an opportunity. And please tell your friends, this is completely ecumenical, non-denominational, non-biased, non-judgmental. There's no cost. We don't require that a person be in total faith to receive, although it is good to at least have faith in God. Certainly they don't have to have faith in me, because I'm not the one giving the blessing. But it's a gentle, easy blessing to receive, and it can do so much good in the world. So that's an example of how we can make just such a difference. Now, let's see, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Oh, no, I'm finished. Thank you, Glenda.
Okey-doke. Oh, you can tell I'm back in Texas. All right, we're going to take a caller from area code 321, and you're on.
Hello, please.
Hi.
Hey, I wanted to say thanks for all the good experiences. I got a lot of treats at the seminar. I got to get a hug from you on my 50th birthday.
Yes, I know.
That was pretty cool. I got to stay over and meet Larry. We watched a movie. And then I got a lot of positive feedback from getting to play drums.
And, yes. Yes. Scott, let me tell you what happened. We were not able to attract a musician to this service. And I decided that, well, actually, I didn't decide. It was a direction from above that told me to take the two drums that I have that were specially created for releasing Love Without End to the world in 1998. They were made at the Taos Drum Factory, and they're quite large. And one was created, a slice of wood, a huge piece of wood, from a heart-shaped sycamore tree, and then, of course, stretched with the leather. I had not used the drums since the unveiling of the book or in sending it out to the world in 1998, because I moved to Sedona shortly after that, and the climate had changed the tension of the leather on the drum to where it was more of just a thud. It didn't have such a beautiful resonant sound. And now we've moved back into a more humid climate, and I had noticed the beautiful sound had returned to the drums. And I just got this inspiration, take the drums and the drummer will show up. Well, when Chris and Scott showed up on my doorstep, and after we had a chance to relax and have some refreshments, I asked Scott, because he brought a musical instrument, I said, Scott, are you a musician? And he said, well, of sorts, I am. And I said, how are you with the drum? And he said, well, I'm okay if I have a chance to practice. And I said, okay, let's go practice. we put on our theme song for the blessing seminar, and I said, can you accompany this with the drum and allow it to resonate for the heart? He perfectly mastered the rhythm and was the accompanist for our theme song throughout the seminar. And Scott, you were just marvelous.
There was cool tricks happened that was not me, in my opinion. It was kind of interesting.
I'm sure.
And mostly I wanted to say I got to chip in too. That made it really fun to help out, you know, at the seminar.
Oh, I know. And we so appreciate your contribution. We sure did in every way, Scott, and you. You know, I really appreciate the effort and the intention and the love you put into being there.
I got to stay with Chris, too.
I know. We had Linda Lang came from New Zealand. We had a blessing giver from Puerto Rico. We had someone from Canada. We had someone from, Turkey. Turkey. Now, that is a particular challenge for her. She lives in probably a 95, if not 98% Muslim country. And Christian practices are cloaked, to say the least, if not scorned. And she really is doing great work there, mostly under the heading of angelic work. And I helped her to see how this could be utilized in combination with angelic healing and become completely neutralized so that it can be Christ's blessing to people who otherwise would object to the name or otherwise object to the religion, basically. And so there were people who really, really put their life and their heart out on a limb to be here. And this is one of the reasons I wanted to tell the story of Anna and her husband, who came from Poland. And they're now blessing givers. Because Christ's blessings make a difference, a very, very positive difference in this world. And as you see the results and the commitment that people have, hopefully it will elevate your faith to where your receiving will be less guarded. You may think you're here like a little child, but you'd be surprised how many defense mechanisms our mind and body still will employ. No matter how much we come in with the faith of a child. So it is. Chris Huckins is on the phone. Hi, Chris. Chris, are you there? You may have to unmute your phone if you were muted.
Yeah, I had my phone mute on. Thank you very much. I wanted to just say how much I appreciate not only that you have been in a place to receive all of this graciousness, but the ability to pass it on to us has been such a tremendous gift for me and my wife. And me personally, after the blessing seminar, I've had some challenges that I've had to work through that have, I just want to say that I've been able to make some changes in my choices that in the past were just impossible to do. Just simple relationship communication has just changed, and it's been a great healing for me to get these obstacles out of my way and also give me a new way to respond to people. And instead of my old self-righteous self, to be patient and to put this aside, you know, for a day, been just a tremendous ability for me to heal through what I feel of being attacked or whatever. And I just want to say thank you so much for being able to share this with us and help for me personally in my own healing. So thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome, Chris. And actually, I'm glad that you mentioned this level of realization and attainment, because it is, even though you didn't heal some terrible disease, in a way, you changed your life as profoundly, because letting our mind control us forever with indecision, out of its defense mechanisms that keeps us from being in the heart and making right decisions, is a terrible disease. We just don't realize it. When we can return to the heart and we actually can love without judgment, make decisions from faith and with courage about the right things to do in life, that is just an awesome piece of leverage for making our life better and turning around a life that might have just been going in circles and putting it into a straight line with momentum. I know that's happened for me, and I've seen it happen for thousands of other people. And I think, really, you know, we talk about toxic substances in the world, and we can complain about everything from polluted water to polluted air. We can toxic energy in our fields. But I'll tell you something that everybody's overlooking, and that is the toxic field in our personal world where the cerebral mind dominates everything. This is the century, and as we have progressed in through, I would say, from about 1950 through the end of the 20th century and then the 14 years of this century, more and more into a mind-controlled personal environment. And by mind, I'm talking about the cerebral mind. I'm not talking about the larger etheric mind or the intuitive mind or the intelligence of the heart or the intelligence of the body. I'm talking about this bicameral thing that sits between both sides of our skull. The more we have come into the age of cerebral dominance, the higher the disease rate has become. And in my opinion, that is the greatest cause of the increase of disease in our world. Because that cerebral instrument does not have answers to our life, and without correct answers to our life, our body will not know what to do. Our body will begin to self-destruct. And then it just finds convenient ways to self-destruct. It'll pick up on pollution in the air. It'll pick up on pollution in the water. It'll pick up on whatever available virus is here. It will just start self-destructing. As you find, as we all find, better modes of intelligence. Now, I'm not deriding intelligence. I think God made us to be brilliant, to be highly intelligent creatures, and in that intelligence to be responsible, resourceful, creative, and innovative. But we cannot find all of that just within this cerebral mechanism encased inside a skull. We're just not going to find it all there. Maybe at some point in time it might evolve to that point, but I suspect by the time we have evolved our true enlightenment, we won't care. We'll know that this cerebral intelligence is really more of a switchboard, a sorting house, a cataloger of information, a distributor of information, an applier of information, and so forth. It doesn't have the answers. You do. You have the answers. It doesn't. It can facilitate you and help you. It can acquire information from the books you read, the courses you take, your experiences in life. But then it's got to have some place to put this information where it makes a difference in your life. And if that is not alive and well, our bodies will slowly self-destruct. And this is a source of toxicity that no one has dared to speak about, except that Yeshua has spoken very, very strongly about it to me. And this is one of the things that happens when you come to the Blessing Seminar. You leave you leave not using so much of your cerebral mind and about 90% more of the rest of your available intelligence. And so, Chris, your life will heal. And as our life heals, our bodies will just stay younger and more vibrant, more alert, more energetic, and more able to do what we need to do. We will more attract the people we want in our life. So now as it looks like I'm not going to be able to take all the calls today. Isn't that just the way it is? Yes. Last time I got no one on the board, and today we have so many people talking. And I'm sorry about that, but we just have to sign off because there are people remotely tuning in through spirit, and so we do want to have our blessing at least sort of on time. And let us begin now. And the first thing we're going to do is we're going to get comfortable in our chairs. And the second thing we're going to do is take a deep breath and relax. Now, allow yourself to disengage from that cerebral part of your mind that simply doesn't have the answers, but it has 1,000 defense mechanisms, or 1,000,000, or uncountable defense mechanisms. This is why we release from it, because we want all the doors, the windows, and every pore in our body opened, and every molecule of our energetic being available to receive the blessings of God, the Holy Spirit, and Christ. So, now just allow your attention to drop into the heart, and again, breathe into the heart. Those who are going to share the offering of the blessing with me, our blessing givers, please stand with me. And I will offer the invocation. As soon as the invocation is complete, all of you begin your prayers. In any way you pray, pardon me, whether it's silent or with words, or holding the hands of another, whether it's through visualization, however you pray, for some people it's emotional. Feeling the love, feeling the prayer, feeling that which you need or desire, feeling your unity with God. There are many ways of prayer. And we probably should do a webinar at some point on just the many ways of prayer. Pray as soon as the invocation is complete for about 3 minutes, and I'll tell you when the conveyance of the blessing is over as an energetic offering. Then I want you to go rest and assimilate, nourish yourself, body, heart, and soul, with everything that has been given to you. So, let us begin. Dear Yeshua, Son of God, beloved of man, our brother who walks with us in all times and all places, who is available to be with us for everything from our most profound inquiries to our silliest laughs, who will sit and have a meal with us, who will be at the altar with us, who will be with us in our celebrations, and also in our darkest moments, who will brighten our days and strengthen our faith. We thank you for this blessing we are about to receive, and we ask that we may receive it in such a way that we will pass it on to all around us who also need a blessing, knowing that we all need your blessings on some level, in some way. Let us be a conduit of your great love upon this earth for the healing, the unity, and the enlightenment, and the love, the sharing, and the community of mankind. Amen. the blessing has been given. Allow yourself now to rest and be nurtured fully by it, body, heart, and soul. Don't think during this time. Don't pull back your cerebral brain. Just be in a resting mode. Be a blank slate. Be a hungry child. Be a plant receiving the rain. Just be a receiver of the love of God, the inspiration of spirit, and the gracious comfort and healing of Yeshua. I look forward to being with you again next week for the beginning of Passion Week and the beginning of our celebration of this holy season. Much love to all of you. Bye-bye.